My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's time for a noon kick.
Let's go, babe. Come on, let's have some fun, man.
This is Danny and Dusty on Football Friday.
You gotta see it! You gotta see it!
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Good afternoon!
What's up?
There he is, Will Ordner in the building.
How's it going?
It's great. How are you?
I'm doing good,
man. It's a football
man.
Friday. How could we not be great? It's not just a football Friday.
So far, it's the football Friday of the season.
This is an amazing football Friday. We've got a fantastic weekend of college football that is ahead of us.
Mm-hmm.
That does include a game that'll be right here on the Fan. Oregon, the number 3 team in the country. The number 2 team in the country, Ohio State, coming over from Columbus, Ohio. And then you got like the Red River rivalry, which, how about this? A game in Eugene, Oregon, trumps the Red River rivalry.
College football!
Oh, yes!
Is the Red River rivalry like the third most important game this weekend? Is there a world where you can make that assumption?
We can make that argument today.
Ole Miss LSU?
You got Ole Miss LSU is very, very, muy importante.
Penn State USC? Can one of those coaches finally win a big game?
Is that a big game? I think the Red River rivalry is still ahead of that one.
What if
by a smidgen?
Yeah, because USC lost to Minnesota last week. Like, if USC doesn't lose to Minnesota, I think you can make the argument.
I think you can't because we'll talk about this a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
Big spread, big spread in that game
for a big game. Yes.
Oh boy,
because. I've taken some bigger spreads. Going up in this next Saturday, there's a couple others that might be a little bit larger than that.
Yep. They're looking at that game, and they're saying, is it going to be close? They're looking at it like Tennessee, Florida. Florida sucks.
Florida is bad. But they beat UCF, and so everyone's kind of like back
Nobody
on
cares.
The train.
So did Colorado. All right.
Colorado, big game against K-State.
Colorado, big game. K-State. See, this is going to be fun. This is why we have a fantastic weekend, and the epicenter of it all is number 2 visiting number 3. I'm pumped for it. We're going to break this game down every which way. Talk about the news, I guess, of the day.
The rumor mill. I heard that there are rumors swirling.
Oh, there's a lot of rumors swirling that we will address today as best as we can, because there's still a lot of unknown.
I've heard that the sky is falling. The sky has actually stopped falling. It's fine. I don't know what to think. I'm confused. A lot of ex-doctors, you know? A lot of people on X being doctors after not...
It's like ex-doctors, like people that were formerly doctors?
No. People
most
on...
Most of those guys still kind of know their stuff.
Well, you used to be able to say, like, Twitter doctors are out there saying things.
Yeah.
And you can't really say Twitter doctors because it's not Twitter anymore.
Yeah, yes, it is.
Yeah, it's still Twitter.
Go to Twitter.com and tell me what happens.
I'd have to type
it's still Twitter.
It takes you to X.com.
I don't care what corporate says.
I don't care what Elon is trying to do.
A lot of Twitter doctors. Why did he go with X? Like, did he think it would get more people to tune in?
I've stopped trying to figure out what Elon Musk is doing.
Can I block him during... election season? I'm kind of over it.
Yeah, I muted him.
I might block him. I have not blocked anyone ever.
Oh, I just mute. I've seen no political stuff on my feed,
dude. Can I get your feed?
of any party. Yeah, dude, you just gotta mute every single word
that's around politics?
Yeah. I mean,
oh, 80% of the ads that I get on mine are all right-wing BS.
Dude, I just don't want any of it. Like, I don't want any. I don't want to deal with it. And every single time now.
Every now and then, the Green Party weasels their way into my feed.
Right.
Thank God Ralph Nader's gone. I didn't have to mute Nader.
Like, I'm out here just trying to watch, like, college football previews on YouTube. And then it's like, now I've got an ad for Trump. Now I've got an ad for Harris. Now I've got an ad for Kent. Now I've got an ad for the other lady that I don't listen to. I just keep hitting skip. Yeah. I want it to go away. Can we fast forward to the election?
We're getting there. We're less than a month away, dude.
Yeah, it needs to happen like really fast because I'd like to not be inundated.
Time works.
Yeah, but time is a social construct. Like on Saturday.
I saw that Adam Sandler movie.
Right. See, look, on Saturday, we're just going to make up that we get to do 2 a.m. two times.
Yeah.
We're falling back on Saturday anyways. So why can't we just say it's November and it's done?
Can we?
I just want to be done.
Can we reassess here? When is it that we cancel doing that? We stopped doing that at some point.
Arizona already did.
Well, I know, but we do here, don't we? Is that next spring?
Do we both do it? Does Washington and Oregon do it? We're usually lockstep.
I don't know. Your life is going to be hell if Oregon doesn't, Washington doesn't, though.
That'd be kind of
like you're
awesome,
traveling
though.
North, south, and then all of a sudden you got a time change?
Like, that would be
half
sick.
The year?
That would be fantastic. Not that it, like, I would absolutely hate it and it would drive me nuts.
Yeah, it would.
But it would be really funny. Like, if Mississippi and Alabama did this, I would really appreciate that. That would be funny. Or it's like when you're driving through parts of Idaho. Like, parts of Idaho are time zone.
Mm.
Other parts of Idaho, not our time zone.
Basically, it's like Coeur d'Alene.
Same as Oregon, dude.
That is.
Oregon? That's right.
Yeah, because Ontario's
like
in the mountain.
Vail, Nyssa, Ontario.
Is it Oregon and Georgia or Oregon and Alabama where there parts of Oregon and parts of Alabama are one time zone apart?
I don't.
I mean, I think we just. Like, Ontario is in the mountain time zone.
Tennessee. You could go Tennessee with that. Tennessee splits into Eastern and Central time zone.
I'm looking up a time zone.
All right.
So, yeah, I think the Coeur d'Alene gets lumped in.
No, it's
Pacific.
Florida. I was wrong.
Did we just get stoner thoughts with Will Ortner?
No.
Is that what we just went through right there?
You can't get stoner thoughts. No, you can't get stoner thoughts.
The way you're like,
not stoned.
Hey.
It's
is it Alabama?
It's Florida. It's Florida. Florida. It's right. Florida on the little thing that jets out. That's right. Underneath Alabama. There's parts of Florida
panhandle.
And parts of Oregon. No, because isn't the panhandle out in the
It'd
water?
Be a lot cooler if you did.
Yeah.
I don't know. I taught yesterday, and I don't know.
That is terrifying.
It was PE.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
In English.
Less terrifying. Less terrifying. All right. So we got a lot of football that we need to get to. We got some. It's a football Friday. We have Seahawks and Niners and Thursday night football last night.
Yeah, that was rough. That was a bummer
for Seahawks fans. The other half of this area that's Niners fans are probably like, yeah, all right.
Yeah, they're probably excited.
Yeah,
haven't had a good start to the year, and oh, guess what? They're still first place in the NFC West.
They are
with all those injuries. They're right where they should be.
The NFC West is. Gonna be something, man. I mean, we've like reverted. We got a time machine back to when it was little Will Ortner in your Twitter photo. Actually, you were probably too old at that point even. Little Will Ortner, where there was like the NFC West, there were a few years where it was like nobody was really great. Nobody really wanted it.
Yeah, no, that's about that Twitter photo, because that's sixth grade, and about sixth grade is when the Seahawks made it in the playoffs.
At 7-9?
Yeah.
And that's when they made it to the Super Bowl that year, didn't they?
No. They beat the Saints,
that was a Beastquake. Okay.
And then they lost to Chicago.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because quarterback play.
Yeah, that was the last year of Hasselback. And then we went to Tavares Jackson.
Oh, sweet, man.
R.I.P.? I think.
Whoa, Tavares Jackson's dead?
I think so.
What?
Whoa, what?
I hope I didn't just kill him.
I think you might have.
No.
Nope. 2020.
That's
whoa.
R.I.P. R.I.P.I.P.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
What?
People forget.
Well, 2020, I mean.
Yeah, but I think it was a car wreck. It wasn't like a COVID thing.
Well, I know, but I forgot everything about that year.
Yeah, it all kind of blends together a little bit.
No idea what happened that year. None whatsoever. Gosh, that's sad.
I listened to a lot of 1080 that year.
He was only 36 years old, man.
Yeah.
That's really sad.
I think he had just retired, too.
Yeah. Dang. What's even more sad is that now I'm, like, mourning him now. You know?
Yeah.
God.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, killed in a car accident.
I feel bad that I ruined your Football Friday with that information.
I mean, you didn't ruin it.
I made it a downer.
You brought it down for a minute. You brought it down for a minute. I mean, we've already gone stoner thoughts with Will. We've got downer Will. Gosh, can I get some upper Will here maybe for a minute?
Y'all want to buy some drugs?
I'm in a bright pink neon.
Yeah,
you are.
Can we talk about
sweatshirt?
That?
Yeah.
What's going on here?
It's like the most comfortable sweatshirt I've ever had. And it's October. You wear pink in October. So I'm wearing pink. And I got to go coach. Well, yeah.
But it's Friday. On Wednesdays, we wear pink.
I get that reference. I haven't seen that movie, but I do get the reference. He's talking Mean Girls.
Oh.
Gotcha.
I love Mean Girls, too.
You're a fan of Mean Girls?
Love Mean Girls.
Oh, it's tremendous.
Tim Meadows is fantastic in Mean Girls.
Yeah, I never saw it.
Tim Meadows is fantastic.
Yeah.
That's one of those that like got thrown up there with like The Notebook or like the other Channing Tatum movie where his
Mean Girls is funny as hell.
Is it completely different?
Yes. It's not rom-com. It's funny as hell.
All right. So then I apologize to Mean Girls.
It's nothing
and Tina Fey.
Like The Notebook.
No, it's not.
Felt like
dude
maybe,
it's like you know it's like Titanic or Jaws or
either of those either. All I'm saying is that
or The Hunt for Red October,
like, the only thing in that is the ocean. No. That's the only similarity there.
No to me it's similar because
open water.
Ex-girlfriends were trying to get me to watch it, and I was like,
now
we're gonna hold off on that one. Usually if a movie got recommended by a girlfriend at the time, or maybe a girl I was hoping to see.
Yeah.
I didn't really watch those movies. That didn't really happen. Wasn't going to do it. So that's just kind of what I assumed there for Mean Girls.
Man. All right.
But I'm wearing pink. Hawkinson versus River. Hawkinson will beat the Rapids.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks.
Wait, they're not the Chiefs anymore? Chieftains?
Dude, yeah. That's 2020. Same kind of thing.
2020?
2020.
That's when that happened?
2020. Same kind of thing. Chieftains no more.
The Rapids.
The Columbia River Rapids. You know, because the river...
It's not the worst thing.
It's pretty bad, dude.
Yeah, I know, but...
It's not good. Like, ooh, we're fast water.
Chieftains was
watch
better.
Out. Yeah, but you can't.
Well, there's a...
Well, the Braves.
Banks.
We're the Braves. But we got tribal approval for that.
Yeah, I don't know that they got tribal approval.
And there's a lot of things that need to happen. Like, we have this... cool design that Nike came up with for us, so we don't use Native American imagery anymore.
Oh, there you go.
There's a lot of education that goes into it, too, where, there's educational component within the school, and then teachers go, and they go to Grand Ronde, and they get an educational component around it, too, and they come back and...
Good. That's good.
Teaching is part of the schools, too.
Yeah. Florida State does the same thing.
That's part of the...
Yeah.
Keeping the Braves' name.
Good.
It's really good.
Florida State does the same thing, too, with the Seminoles. And that's why they're able to keep the name. And
yeah.
I'm all for it. All
right. Well, enough about that. Let's talk football.
What a first segment.
Look, this may be new to you. This is old hat here. In fact, this was...
This is
potentially
tame.
A little bit tame. Yeah.
This is very.
Yeah, you have not admitted any crimes.
I've not committed any crimes recently.
Pretty G-rated.
Yeah. Yes. It's a family football Friday. That's a lot of F's.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm here for.
Like Will's report card.
Whoa! Student athlete of the year, Central Washington. 2022.
Okay. I thought you were going to say 2020. I was like, a year everybody forgot about.
It might have been 2021.
And it was a...
Don't make me tweet it out again.
Yeah. That's like, all right. At a directional school.
So? And I was a college major.
I went to one.
Don't attack me for that.
I went to one.
You went to Southern.
I can say things like this. All right. Let's get to it. Biggest game of the year. Oregon, Ohio State, and a little cause for concern down in Eugene. We'll address the rumors next. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Lonely sailors pass the time away.
Can be okay over there? You're a little out of breath.
No, I'm good. Okay. Had to run back in here. Coming up tomorrow, big game in college football. Number 2, Ohio State visiting Eugene for the third-ranked Oregon Ducks. You can hear the game right here on The Fan. Our pregame will start down in Eugene from in front of the Mashofsky Center at noon. You're going to be on Center and the Saint, though, yeah?
Yeah, Luke Anderson and I, we're going to be Sinning and Satan. I don't know what that means, but
I think it's just more of a Sinner show.
Yeah, really. Yeah. Yeah, it really is. Yeah. That's a Sinner show.
Yep. It's not.
There's no Saint in that group.
No, no. But with the Ducks and Buckeyes, look, this game is it's one of the most highly anticipated matchups in Oregon history. I think it is the most anticipated matchup in Autzen Stadium history. And if we're being quite honest, this is one of the most hyped and biggest matchups in a regular season game Oregon has ever played. I mean, it's the first top five game at home. Mm-hmm. It is, you know, the magnitude of it is not maybe as high as some of the other games. Like, you know, the War for the Roses seemed to be a pretty big one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a Rose Bowl on the line, you know, winning a game to get to a national title, having playoff implications on the line. With the 12-team playoff, the loser of this game has the ability to see their path right back into the playoff. And they're not out of the playoff with a loss this week. Right. So that is a massive difference. So, like, the magnitude may not be the highest, but the matchup is undeniably large. And right, it's a huge game.
Well, it also feels a little bit, too, like we finally get to see what they both truly are.
Yes.
Because Oregon and Ohio State have had a long runway into the season, opposite of what James Franklin has at Penn State. Obviously, he had to drive to go fly to USC somewhere else.
An hour and a half.
But with Ohio State, everyone has been able to say, at least around that program, well, you haven't seen Chip Kelly's full offense yet. They haven't run Will Howard. They haven't needed to because they've been able to win. And so it feels like if you're a believer in Ohio State, you think that they've held back and they mm-hmm. still have things going. If you're a believer in Oregon, right, they struggled early on. Well, that Boise State struggle game looking better and better every single week because what Ashton Gentry's been able to do. If you're looking at that offensive line, yeah, you can point to that struggle in the Idaho game in the first part of the Boise State game, and yeah, it's that offensive line. But guess what they're starting to do? They're starting to round into form. The run game, especially last week, got going with Jordan James. He had a big game over 100 yards, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're, what, 3 Dylan Gabriel turnovers in the low red zone away from having easy covers in back-to-back games and wins where it looks like you dominated a team, which you truly did. You just called off the dogs in the second half because you didn't want to show the different things that you could do.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of things in there that are concerning, though, because 3 low red zone turnovers in 2 weeks are not good inside
nope.
the five. Inside mm-hmm. the five. But I think the bigger one here is, all right, both these teams seemingly getting healthy heading into this matchup. Enter yesterday, the message boards start blowing up, and this is seems to be what happens all the time, right? It was almost like while Oregon was still practicing, the message boards started lighting up, which is a weird thing to see,
right?
Because the Jordan Birch injury news, and look, full transparency, I go down every Wednesday at practice, right? I'm down there every Wednesday. I am not allowed to talk about or say anything about any injuries that I do see when I'm down there. This happened on a Thursday. I went down there. I don't know what happened down there.
Brutal timing.
It did. I mean, that is brutal timing. But, and look, we will not, we don't know. And this is the other thing, too, is that even with an injury like this, like there's people that are saying he was like carted off and, you know, it was, that seems to be getting away. But then there's also people like, hey, he's going to play. I don't know. I have no idea what is going to happen because I'm reading the same stuff as everybody else is right now. And that is I will learn. And what I usually do is I learn what's going on Saturday when I get from the injury front on Saturday, when I get to the stadium, and we will all find out a couple hours before kick because the Big Ten has an availability report. So it's not going to be like some secret when the first snap happens.
Right.
But I think with any injury, and well, you know this just as well as I do, like unless he was carted off and, you know, he's crutched up or whatever, or, you know, arm in a sling or what have you, every guy is going to try to play in this game, especially, no matter what. So I've seen the reports that are out there like, yeah, he was carted off. I've seen, you know, he was not carted off and he's going to play. Truth kind of feels like it's somewhere in the middle there where he's going to be a game time decision. This thing's going to be 50-50. I don't know. We don't know. All I'm going off of is the message boards, just like everybody else's, and in the reports that are out there.
Right, and you have to be careful.
I find out on Saturday.
You have to be careful with Twitter doctors, with ex-doctors. Oh, I mean, I saw a clip the other day where one of the Twitter doctors was arguing with the father of the player on his own injury. Like, no, you're wrong. Like, no, I'm his dad. I know what his injury is. Talk to the source, right?
Yeah.
So I will say this for Oregon fans who think that the sky is falling. I have been at a practice where I've seen a player carted off, got thrown into the gator, and he got carted off, and he practiced the next day. I have also seen guys who walked off the field from one of their own injuries, and their season was done after further testing. So you don't know what's going to happen here with Jordan Birch. Here's where the positive is. Whether he plays or not.
Nobody even knows what he hurt.
Right. For all we know, he just tripped.
Yeah. Like, I mean, there's a report out there that he was just held out the rest of practice because it was precautionary.
Doctor said I need a backyotomy.
We don't know.
I don't know.
But I will say this, though, for this Oregon defensive front, it's the deepest it's ever been. So even if he doesn't go, there are multiple capable backups that can fill that role. Are they going to be 100% of Jordan Birch?
Mm-mm.
No, they are not. But are you going to get a capable backup that is going to be able to make plays if he is unable to go, worst case scenario? Yes.
Rotation gets a lot shorter, and you're asking the young bucks to do a heck of a lot more. And Jordan Birch has been outstanding. I think if you just look at the last 2 weeks that he has had, I mean, and I believe this, and I said this during the broadcast at UCLA. I said it after, I think on Monday, after the game. Something clicked with Jordan Birch at that UCLA game. And I mean, I don't know how much credit we want to give one individual. But one thing that I know is that I saw Kayvon Thibodeau on that sideline.
Mm-hmm.
And Kayvon Thibodeau, during that game, was yelling from the sideline, long arm, right. Bull rush, and you would see Jordan Birch, based on, you know, how the offensive lineman was setting, you know, in pre-snap, and he was telling him kind of what to do. When Birch and the defensive line, wasn't just Jordan Birching, when the defensive line would come off the field, Kayvon Thibodeau was like coaching during the game. Like he was like
it
in their ear going boom, boom, boom. You know, Jordan Birch has had 3.5 of his 5 sacks this season have come from UCLA and Michigan State.
Yep.
I mean, in a little bit of it has to do with the opponents that you're playing, but You also played Idaho, Boise State, and Oregon State, and people have gotten home against those teams as well. Something has clicked with him and clicked with this defensive line because 9 of their 16 sacks have come in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, 100%. Well, I also think that they're getting more one-on-one matchups because of the guy in the middle, and that's Derek Harmon. Like right now, I believe he's still leading the Big Ten in pressure rate from an interior defensive lineman. What that guy can do from your defensive tackle nose guard position, because he does play both, is what allows those one-on-one matchups on the edges. Now, where I say it's unfortunate, right? Whatever his injury is, it will change the game plan. And on what you want as a coach, and this might be obvious, but if you are going to have an injury, you want to know about it on Monday so you can design your game plan around it. When it happens on a Thursday, most Thursday practices in college are really just kind of run-throughs that you can finally shore up any last-minute mistakes, fix anything at the last minute. Because Friday, that's a walk-through, run-through type of deal, and then you're good to go for game time.
Fast Friday.
Now, I'm not saying that the hay's in the barn here, but it is going to make a later night, I think, for certain coaches on that defense, especially on that defensive line. But that being said, who's your D-line coach? It's your defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
It's LaPoy. So if anyone knows how to scheme up different things, if you don't get Birch or you only get him on certain downs and situations.
LaPoy and Tuioti do a great job with that D-line.
It's
going to
be LaPoy. I'll tell you what, if Birch doesn't go, I would expect a gigantic game from Tuioti.
Yeah, well, Tatum Tuioti, absolutely. He has played big. And this is the thing.
I like him a lot.
Is that rotationally, you feel Jordan Birch's impact, right? You feel it when he's in a game, and in a game of this magnitude, when you have running backs that are this good, when pressure on a quarterback is of the utmost importance because of the receivers that a team like Ohio State has. Yet Jordan Birch, be it out or limited, that makes an impact on this game.
Yep.
But we have seen large stretches of Tatum Tuioti, Mateo Uiagalelei. We have seen Omarion Winston play big at times. We saw him a lot last year. We have not seen a lot of Blake Purchase this year.
Yeah, the big Blake Purchase game hasn't happened.
But to your point of what Derek Harmon, Jamari Caldwell have done on the interior of that offense or defensive line, they make the jobs a lot easier, the guys on the outside. I think everybody's attention and eyes are going to be on number one. And if Jordan Birch is available tomorrow. Again, we don't know. We have no idea, but I think that we all go back to this one as well. Do you remember Ohio State back in 2021? Kayvon Thibodeau did not play in that game.
That's right.
And everybody said Oregon was dead to rights in that game. This is a very good Ohio State team. This is a better Ohio State team, but this is a better Oregon team too.
Yes, 100%,
right?
Top to bottom.
And Oregon found a way to win, and that's what this game and I think a bunch of other games come down to and boil down to. Ohio State's defense is far better than they were back in 2021, okay? The skills are always good at Ohio State. The offensive line, I don't know if they're as good as the one that they played in 2021. I mean, and that is such a hard thing to say because we've seen them play Iowa. We've seen them play Michigan State.
It's not the same Iowa team, though. It's not defensively. It really isn't. They're not as good.
They're not as good. But this is like, but it's a good test. And they've passed all their tests with flying colors. And you just, O-line play is one where until you play a really good team, you just don't quite know. Right? Like you can be effective and you can be dominant, but when the kitchen sink is thrown at you, how do you respond to that? Right?
Right.
And I think that Oregon's O-line took their lumps early. They've settled their rotation. And I think if you're an Ohio State fan that's just checking in on a Friday to see kind of what's up with Oregon, if you take the first game and a half and you make any judgments on Oregon's offensive line, you are going to be incorrect.
Yes. No, 100%.
Because that rotation has not changed since the second half where they ran for 93 yards against Boise State, and they have been damn good since then.
Right. The other thing that I would point out, too, for Ohio State, there is a very key position that you are weaker than that 2021 team, and that's at quarterback. What will Will Howard look like on Saturday? Because I'll tell you right now, as good of wide receivers that you have, a lot of the big plays that have come from Smith and Ibuka have been quick passes and then them doing all the work. You're going up against an Oregon secondary where you have a legit lockdown corner in Muhammad, and the rest of the DBs have passed every single test that you've seen with flying colors. In the Boise State game, that game was only close because you have the Heisman front runner doing the craziest amount of broken tackles and vision. He looks like Barry Sanders right now. That's what Ashton Gentry is, and that's why that game was close. It wasn't because Maddox Madsen tore you apart.
A stronger Barry Sanders.
A scarier version. Yeah, it's like a cross between Barry and Derrick Henry.
I'll tell you what. I saw Ashton Gentry, and he is not 5'9", not even in helmets and cleats. He is not 5'9". He is every bit of that 215 pounds, though.
He's jacked.
It looks like his muscles are just... I feel like if you were to poke him,
there'd be no
his
give.
Skin would just like split instantly. It looks like there's no stretch for his skin anymore because... He's just they just shoved muscles on top of muscles, and
he's legit swollen.
It is ridiculous,
right?
I looked at him and I was like, how?
Can I get on your weight program?
I've seen
what are we doing here?
Like, I've seen jacked football players before. Ashton Gentry was different. He's different. He looked like a plastic mannequin,
right? But all this to say, Will Howard is not known for his ability to pick apart defenses from the pocket. The reason they grabbed him was because he could add into that plus one run game that Chip Kelly has always loved. And that's something that you haven't seen this year, but you know that Kelly has in his pocket. But if Oregon can keep this game close or even get up early, when it gets loud and it gets rocking in Autzen, can Will Howard make a deep throw to help Ohio State win this game? I don't know that he can, and we're going to find out.
We are going to find out. We are going to find out. Will Howard has been good this year. And look, this receiving core with Smith, Igbuka, Tate, they are nightmare fuel.
You got two legit ones.
Yes.
Easy legit ones.
I mean, all three will start at any school in the country. All three of them. Every single one.
Two of them are ones at every school in the country.
They will all start, and they're really damn good. But the injury to Jordan Burch as it pertains to him, the rumors, they're just that right now, and we don't know. And like Will, you said this, you've had guys and seen guys that have been carted off the field, and you're at practice. I've had this too. Guy gets hurt, and you're like, dude, there's no way he's playing tomorrow, and you are on the team, and you are. In the locker room, you are seeing him in the training room getting his treatment. You're like, there's no way this guy plays.
His foot is purple.
And then he goes out and he plays incredibly well.
And backwards.
Yeah. I have seen it before. I've seen a guy who looks like his softball was shoved in the side of his ankle. His foot was black. And then the next day went and ran for 200 yards.
I watched a guy walk off the field with a broken leg.
Brick killed a guy.
Wow, this escalated quickly.
All right. Hey, you intrigued me. You sparked a little something, got the hamster spinning in my head. Do Dylan Gabriel and Will Howard need to be perfect? Russ, next. Do Dylan Gabriel or Will Howard need to be perfect tomorrow?
No. In fact, I don't think that the winning quarterback will be perfect tomorrow.
Both these defenses are really damn good. And I think there is an element of, I think they do need to be perfect in the opportunities that their defense creates for them. And I think that's an interesting angle at what you do after a turnover is created. What do you do after a fourth down stop or a missed field goal in those momentum swings? Because that is where that's where the crowd becomes the factor. That is where you start seeing the, oh boy, here we go again. The momentum in the avalanche that both of these teams and both offenses have thrived off of. And when you look at close games, when you look at when you see a supremely talented team lose, that can be the biggest factor right there. Is it's not how many turnovers your team has. It is what does the other team do once they get those turnovers?
I think the big thing for both of these quarterbacks, when we look back on Saturday at 9 o'clock, right? Let's say that's about when the game will be over. The winning quarterback will be the one who has succeeded in not creating the dumb turnover, the turnover that you can't get away from. Right now, if I'm Oregon, I'm a little more fearful than Ohio State. Well, Will Howard hasn't been perfect, hasn't played great competition. He hasn't had a turnover where you've kind of looked at it and been like, that could be a backbreaker in a big game.
Yep.
He might have had, you know, a bad interception here, a bad fumble there, but there's never a moment where you go, what is Will Howard looking at? Dylan Gabriel has had that. Against UCLA, he had that. He had two turnovers against Michigan State that whether you can understand what he was looking at or not, you can't have that turnover in that spot.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be my biggest fear if I'm a Duck fan going into Saturday. Can Dylan Gabriel not make the back-breaking turnover when you have a big-time drive where you get into the red zone? Because there aren't going to be a ton of them, I believe, in this game. You have to be smart with the football to the point where you come away with points. You can't have the turnover on your side of the field where you're inside of your own 20. Can Dylan Gabriel make sure that he doesn't do that? If Dylan Gabriel comes out of this game, and Oregon in general, can come out plus one or plus two in the turnover battle, I think Oregon wins.
Well, I mean, turnovers, obviously. I truly do. I think it is what you do with them, because you're going to get these limited opportunities. And Chip Kelly, like you mentioned in the previous segment, the plus one running game. I think that's really interesting, because what does Chip Kelly have up his sleeve potentially this week? We'll get to that. We're talking Oregon, Ohio State, 503-864-6326. That's a Vancouver Ford text line. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them online at VancouverFord.com. Get to some of your feedback, too. Danny and Dusty on the Fan. All right, what can we expect from one Charles Kelly this weekend?
Also known as Chip and Dip Kelly.
Who's ever called him Chip and Dip?
Probably me. All right. My buddies.
All right.
It's a young kid thing, you wouldn't understand.
Sure. Because we haven't seen much of the... We really have not seen much of the plus one run game with Will Howard. We've seen it at times. But we have not seen an Ohio State offense that has been challenged to the point where you drag them into deep water. What are they the most comfortable doing yet? Because... Right. They've just been running base stuff, and what you're most comfortable doing isn't necessarily your base stuff when you get drug into deep water. See Oregon and against Boise State, right? Everybody's concerned. Dylan Gabriel locks onto Tez Johnson. The game in which Trayshawn Holden and Evan Stewart had their biggest days
was Boise State. Yeah. Yeah.
Dylan Gabriel gets picked off in the end zone twice in the low red. Okay, one of them not locking on. Well, he did. He just tried to get it to his first option on that fullback leak out a little bit too long and then went to Patrick Herbert late. But the second one where he threw it to Tez Johnson 2 weeks in a row in the low red, they run the pivot. They try to get to the out. Front pylon gets picked off twice. The adjustment, Evan Stewart, running a big bender towards the sideline on the opposite side.
Right.
They adjusted. That's where they are comfortable. That is their, you tell us we are going to take this away. Mm-hmm. What is our next move? What is Ohio State's next move going to be? Because they haven't had to put a next move forward yet.
Right. What'll be interesting, I think, is how they use Will Howard, not only in the plus one run game, but how they also incorporate different versions of the zone read or the option in it as well. Because I think that can be an easy way to get the ball to Smith or Junkins, right? Or even Ibuka. That can be a fun little different twist on it. We know that Chip Kelly, I mean, he's really almost the inventor, not the inventor, but the reason why everyone was going so fast, the reason why everyone was doing the zone read stuff, that's Chip Kelly. That's his baby. And now at Ohio State, he finally gets to just sit there and draw up plays. He doesn't have to worry about recruiting. He doesn't have to worry about the defense. He just gets to be the offensive coordinator, which is what made him so great right at Oregon.
He is a different play caller than he was at Oregon. That's the fun part, too, is that
yep, he keeps evolving.
There is the offense looks so different. They don't run at the breakneck speed. They're not going to run the same things over and over and over again. This team looks completely different than the way that they approach the game. And look, there is something to Ohio State has been slow to start this year.
They're a huge third quarter team.
They are a second and third quarter pile it on you team. And that's the one that is rhythm, play calling, rhythm
adjustments
in Chip Kelly. But it is also their defense puts down the clamps. They outscore opponents 63-3 in the third quarter this year.
Yeah.
Okay. But through their first five games, they've only scored 38 points in the first quarter. They've only given up 10 because their defense is really damn good. But 38 in the first, 66 in the second, 63 in the third. And then they've put their backups in and they haven't had to play four full quarters yet of football.
That could be something that's important too. Like, do they have the endurance to go all the way? That's something that I remember having to deal with a couple times at Central, where we were good early on and we weren't needed as starters to play later on. I understand it's a different caliber of athlete, a much, much different caliber of athlete. But that is something to pay attention to. When you're playing a Marshall, you can go 100% every single play because you know that you're going to be pulled out by the third quarter. When you're playing an Iowa team, you know that you can kind of feel your way out because that offense is not going to challenge you at least throughout the entire game. You looked at that team. What did this Ohio State team do? They suffocated the run. They made sure that Johnson couldn't get going, and they said, Cade McNamara, you beat us. And there's no one in the world save for Cade McNamara and his mom that think Cade McNamara can beat Ohio State's defense by himself. This Oregon team, you can try and suffocate the run, but then you're putting the ball in the hands of Dylan Gabriel, who I think if he plays a game, an A-plus game, he has the opportunity to do that with the weapons he has at tight end and wide receiver.
I think it's been really interesting how both these teams have approached their first five games, where offensively, especially Chip Kelly and Ohio State, have been relatively conservative and to an extent, vanilla. I think that Ohio State fans need to get used to this, though, is that Oregon fans always used to be like, well, he's got something up their sleeve. And it was just like, no, what we do is what we do. But Chip has evolved.
Yeah.
There are wrinkles, and there's always an answer for everything that Chip Kelly's offense has. They have been and had the luxury of, because they are so talented, to not have to go deep into the bag. Oregon has gone the complete opposite of that. Will Stein has put the diamond formation in the backfield. We saw last week the A-11, which is where they went, it looks like, swinging gate in the middle of the field.
Right.
A-11, they've thrown that out at teams. They have gone 13 personnel, 22 personnel, 11 personnel, 10 personnel. They have gone zero backs in three tight ends on the field, for goodness sakes.
Right.
You've seen every single personnel grouping you could possibly imagine, and it's two different ways to approach how teams will prepare for you, right? Which Ohio State goes, this is what we do. I dare you to stop it because we always have an answer. And Oregon says, good luck preparing for everything that we have put on film because we are going to waste literal hours of your practice time
trying to figure
saying,
it out.
This is how we align to this. This is how we align to this. And seemingly always getting to the same spots, though.
Right.
You know, like that's where Oregon's offense is simple yet complicated. They're trying to get to the same spot no matter what.
They could have
three offensive linemen split up out on the numbers,
mm-hmm.
and have your center on the near hash, and they're going, well, the play's still going to the same spot. Instead of releasing three linemen and pulling them,
we'll just have them out there already.
We're just going to start them out there. We're going to run. It's the same play.
Have fun.
It's just where they start, not where they finish, is the exact same spot.
You're going to see a true chess match between two incredibly innovative in their own ways in offensive coordinators between Kelly and Stein. But then you're also going to see two defensive coordinators who know how to win football games. The big thing that I'm going to watch for, how does Ohio State use their unbalanced formation into the boundary? And when I'm talking about unbalanced, it's they're going to have a tight end on one side and then all of the other wide receivers to the field, right?
Yep. A little trio action.
What will be interesting to me is that is typically, for Chip Kelly, a perfect spot for that zone read because you get the extra blocker by the tight end, and now you're reading, and Will Howard, he is going to be a much more powerful runner. Like, when you've seen a lot of Chip Kelly's quarterbacks, you know, you've got Masoli, Mariota, Darren Thomas, right? You start going down the list, those guys had breakaway speed. If they got away, they were going to run away from everyone. Will Howard's not going to do that, but he's got a little bit more running ability like a Tim Tebow, where he'll run you over, which is uncommon at that quarterback mm-hmm. position.
He's fun to watch.
They can get into that formation and into that type of look, how do they attack this Oregon defense, especially if it's one of the younger defensive ends? If they can get, you know, Uiagalelei into the boundary, if they can get a look where Tui Otis on the line of scrimmage, how do they attack them? It'll be so fun.
Let's jump into that. Hour number two, we'll get to some of your texts on the Vancouver 4 text line and the YouTube Kings on youtube.com/1080am the fan. Danny and Dusty, Ortner and Dusty edition on the fan.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.